ELC Radio.
Love God, lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Thank you guys once again for tuning in, and we've been in a series called Restoring Your Roar. I've spent some time telling you about the value of your roar, why we need a roar, and we've been aligning the roar, speaking with about boldness and being confident and courageous. I believe in this time that we're living in, with, you know, all that we've gone through with COVID and all that's going on in the world, the enemy has unleashed an assignment to cause Christians to be intimidated, to be quiet, to sit down and shut up, so to speak. And this is not the time for us to sit down and shut up. It's the time where we are to shine. We are to be bold as lions. And we've been using Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1 as our text, where it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues. In other words, in translation, wicked people fear things that aren't even going to happen. Right? But it says here, the righteous, they're bold as lions. So we're not to be fearful of the times we live in. We're to be bold, okay? And we've been talking about why it's important to be bold. And we've also been using as a text Acts chapter 4 and how the early church was known. It was known that they were with Jesus because of the characteristic of boldness. And many times in our day and age, we see Christians that have lost their roar. And we've been talking about that. So you can go and listen to those other messages there. But I want to talk to you about something today of what causes us to lose our roar. And last week, we talked about why a lion roars. Because remember, we're compared to lions here in Proverbs chapter 28. So we looked at the reasons a lion roars, and I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that message. But today, I want to talk to you about something serious. What is it that causes us to lose our roar? So again, we're going to look at the lions and what zoologists have studied, and they have come down to three reasons that lions lose their roar. I mean, even a lion, even though it's got this powerful voice, this ability to roar, and it's heard for 5 miles, that roar chases off predators and enemies, it can lose that roar. In other words, this, a lion can lose its special power, and so can you and I. So zoologists say there are three reasons that a lion loses its roar, and I believe there are three reasons why a Christian loses its roar. So let me give you these three things, and then we're going to go back and unpack each one. The first reason a lion loses its roar, it is said, because it's said that they lose this roar by being in captivity. When a lion is taken out of the wild and it's brought into a cage, or in some cases a zoo, many times it'll stop roaring because it's held captive. Kind of what I would consider what causes a Christian to lose their boldness, their courage, when they're brought into bondage. We're going to talk about that. The second reason a lion loses its roar is when it's not hunting. It's not hunting. It's not pursuing anything. When they take a lion out of the wild and they put him in a zoo, one of the things they notice is, hey, this thing's not, it's not roaring anymore. Why? Because every day the zookeeper comes and feeds it. the same time, the same thing. And it begins to be a routine where it's taken care of and it doesn't need to hunt. I believe Christians lose their roar when they're not hunting. Or let's say it like this, when they're not in their eternal purpose. Now, a few weeks ago, Jesse Delgado was here preaching to you about purpose. You need to go back and listen to that if you didn't already. Because a big reason why you have no roar is because you're not walking in your God-given purpose. The third reason a lion loses its roar is when it's in isolation. See, when they take a lion away from its pride and they put it in a zoo or in a cage, and it's not connecting with others, zoologists have found that it won't be long that lion will cease to roar. And I believe it's like that for believers. When you take a believer out of community, out of church, oh, you could still be a believer, you could still be a Christian, but your roar will cease to exist. And guys, that's a shame. As I've taught you already, there's power in our roar, okay? So those are the three things. Again, being in captivity, not hunting, which means not being in your purpose, and when they're in isolation, that's when a lion will lose its roar, when it's not connected through community. So let's go through these one by one. Today, I want to talk to you about a very serious one, a serious one that I believe is keeping believers from experiencing the power of God that we're supposed to have. And again, the first reason we're talking about here is lions lose their roar in captivity. Okay, so what does this speak about for you and I? It speaks about being in bondage. When a believer is in bondage, it's going to rob you of your boldness, of your confidence. It's going to rob you of your confidence in God, your roar. And instead of walking through the earth realm with this confidence that God is on your side, when you're in bondage, you hang your head low. You doubt what God's word says. You doubt the abilities that God has given you. And I see so many Christians go through life without a roar, without boldness. And I believe it's because of bondage. Or let's call it what it is, sin. Now let me show you something in Isaiah 59, 1 through 2. Isaiah 59 in the New King James Version says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Guys, this is what the power of sin does. Sin wants to separate you from God. Now, we know the remedy of this was Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made for all of us. He came and he died to be the sin sacrifice so that we could not and we would never be separated from God like this ever again. Except when you choose sin over obedience to Christ. Now, the Hebrew word for sin in this scripture here is a word called awan, okay? Awan. And it's one of four main Hebrew words that's used to indicate sin in the Old Testament. And it basically means this. It's the intentional and twisting or perverting deliberately. Okay, I'll say it again. It's the intentional twisting or perverting deliberately. What it basically means is this. It's something you're doing on purpose, okay? Or I would like to say it in today's vernacular, it's a practice sin or a habit, an addiction. A more familiar definition comes from the word hamartia, okay? Hamartia. And what that word there means, it's missing the true end or scope in our lives. And many Bible scholars have come to say that sin basically means to miss the mark, and that's where they get it from. But I think missing the mark simplifies what sin is too much. Yes, it is missing the mark, but look at what that word hamartia means there. It means you're missing the true end or the scope in our lives. Here it is. You're missing God. So to sin is to miss what you're supposed to have. So when we choose sin, we miss out on joy. When we choose sin, we miss out on peace. When we choose sin, we miss out on wisdom and contentment and provision and power, etc., etc. To a lot of people in today's day and age, losing their roar because they play with sin. They play with sin to the degree that we come under this thing of like, well, I go to church, I'm a Christian, but hey, I'm not perfect. And God doesn't expect me to be. And so it's just a continual cycle of going to church, living a life of sin, coming to the altar, repenting, but then going back to sin. And years we live in cycles of defeat, in bondage. And remember, bondage will most assuredly steal your roar. It's a dangerous place to get to when you begin to fall into bondage as a Christian. It's dangerous to get to the place where sinning has no sorrow to it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, remember when you first started serving God and you would miss it and you would sin or do something that you knew you shouldn't have been doing no more, and right away you feel this pain like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. Father, forgive me, please. And you go to the altar and you cry out to God for his mercy. And of course, he forgives you. But then through time, have you ever noticed that if you keep on that path, the sorrow leaves and you barely feel bad about it to the degree where you're like, well, I know God understands. His grace covers me, you know, God forgive me, but there's no sorrow. There's no feeling anymore. Guys, that's a dangerous place to be. Because that feeling, that place of sorrow when we sin, is an indicator that God is working with us. It's also an indicator that we're still able to feel his leading. Where many of us are as Christians, when we fall into bondage, we become numb. What the scriptures call hardened of heart. When your heart begins to get hard, you don't hear the Lord like you used to. See, sinning with no sorrow is a dangerous place. It's usually a sign. Now, this is what I want you to catch. When you can live a life willfully doing things that are against God and his word and still come to church, still sit in the pew, still lift your hands, and all the while you're living this double life, it's usually a sign that you have entered into idolatry. Idolatry. What are you talking about? Idolatry? I'm not worshiping idols. I don't bow to statues. No, idolatry is basically this: worshiping something else other than the Creator. It's the equivalent, since we're in relationship with God. Remember, you say it all the time. It's a relation. It's not religion. It's a relationship. You say it all the time. You wear the shirt. You got the bumper sticker. It's a relationship, right? You're in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Well, idolatry is like committing adultery against God. When you lose that sorrow and you're able to just live a life where you're like, well, God forgives me, and you're not affected by sin anymore, it's a sign, uh-oh, Jesus is not on the throne of my heart anymore. And usually, guess who crawls up there and pulls Jesus down and elevates himself? That's right, the self, ourselves. When a person willfully continues to hold to sin, yet confesses to be a believer, and they go through days, weeks, months, years of a lifestyle that is split in half, guess what? You're living a life of idolatry. And the idol that we usually are bowing to is self. It's self. Now, sin is what attacks our vitality and our confidence. When you're in sin, you don't feel like praying. When you have sin in your life, you don't feel like laying hands on nobody. You don't feel like preaching. You don't feel like being a witness. You don't feel like going on a missions trip. You don't feel like doing these things. It takes that confidence. And when there's sin in your life, your prayers get real weak. They get real silent. It's because you lose your roar. Engaging in sin, listen to this, is exchanging the short-term positive for a long-term negative. Why do we sin? Why do we lead ourselves into bondage? Usually, it's because of our pains. It's because of our letdowns. And we're seeking relief. Church, when will we learn that you'll never find relief in sin? Listen, it feels good for the moment, but it's much like what you remember when you used to get drunk or you used to use that hangover the next day. But here's the problem. In the spirit, the hangover lingers and it lasts and it begins to steal your vitality, your confidence, your connection. Usually when people continue to hold to sin in their lives, they begin to get hardened. They begin to separate themselves from their community. They begin to be easily offended. Something takes over. Their roar is gone. Now listen to this. The old nature gravitates to sin in all of us. If I let my old nature rule, I'm going to run to sin just like everybody else. But the new nature has no need for sin because it's connected to God. And this new nature gives us the ability to resist the draw of sin when you know what is at stake. And guys, what is at stake? Why do you need to finally break these chains? Why do you need to finally let go of these pet sins and these things? Is because all it's going to bring you is bondage, slavery. Let me prove it to you in the scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 34, it says this, and Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Read it again. "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin becomes a slave to sin." This one time and I'm done thing doesn't work like that. I want you to remember this. You become a slave to whatever you obey. You become a slave to whatever you obey. My prayer is that we all learn to obey God and become bond servants to Him. Come on, give me an amen on this. Let me read you here Romans chapter 6, verse 16 in the Passion Translation. Paul writes here, "Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master?" Right? Isn't that what the grace of Jesus Christ does? It gives us the ability now to choose life, choose Jesus Christ, or choose death. Listen to what he says. "But choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant bound to the one that you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it'll become your master and it will own you and reward you with death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness or right standing with God." Right? When you choose righteousness, There's a confidence that comes into your life. There's a boldness. There's a roar. When you choose sin and you refuse to let it go, some of you know what you need to do to leave a life of sin. Quit hanging out with so-and-so. Get rid of those numbers. Delete that Instagram account. You know what you need to do, but you keep the door open. And you're content to play this game of, well, I'm a Christian and I'm doing good for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but then I slip and fall. But then I get back up and I'm good. I'm good. And then I slip and fall again. And guys, guess what's happening all the time? Even though you're in church and even though God loves you, you're still a slave. You're in bondage. And there'll be no roar for a lion in captivity. And so you'll live a Christian life with no power. You'll live a Christian life with no authority. You'll live a Christian life with limited blessing. All the while wondering, wow, I thought there was more to this Christian life. There is, but you got to get out of the cage. You got to quit treating sin like it's acceptable. Come on, this grace thing, right? We use it so many times in the wrong way to just think, well, God will forgive me. Yes, he'll forgive you. But the consequences of sin still run its course. He'll forgive you, but now you're in bondage. Now you have no roar. Now you're limited. And so many Christians settle for that. Look what it says in the book of Hebrews in the NIV. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, listen to this, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I get it. You're in church, but you know you have a porn addiction. Nobody else knows about it, and nobody else may ever know about it. But what you got to see is this. Even though nobody knows about it, even though God will forgive you for it, it's hardening your heart. It's putting you in bondage. It's controlling you. It's making you a slave to where you can't obey God because you have to obey it. And so therefore you settle for a lesser life. We have so much hidden things in our Christian lives. I've dealt with, even as a pastor, hidden things that I've had to get free from in order to have a roar. And you can too. Because I want power, I want authority, I want all God has for me. He has given me grace, not just so I can be forgiven, but so that I can make the right choices and be empowered. And most of all, guys, don't turn a blind eye to the things that God is after in your life, because it's hardening your heart. And as your heart gets harder, it's harder to experience God. And when you don't experience God, you find your heart being lured away by the upside down, by the world. And pretty soon, other things have your affections. You have more desire for the things of the world than you do God. The Bible says this, right? It says, those that endure till the end shall be saved. I've been pastoring now almost 30 years, and I've seen people that were once on fire for God, one times pillars in the house of God, now, because of a hardened heart, aren't even serving God. May not even be saved. That if Jesus came or they died, they may be one of the ones where Jesus looks at them and says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because the scriptures say it's those that endure till the end. And right now, you, some of you are listening, you're right in the middle, right? You're still in church. You're hanging on. But you keep doing what you're doing, your heart is going to get hard. And pretty soon, you're going to leave the ways of God. And when you leave the ways of God, you don't leave and have an amazing life. Quit believing people's Instagram accounts. Quit believing that stuff. They're holding a drink and, hey, living my best life. No, they ain't. Because you can't have your best life without peace in God. Quit believing those lies. Quit believing what you see on social media and hear what I'm saying to you today. Sin leads to bondage. Bondage steals your roar. Let's get that roar back. Amen. Let me give you a couple other scriptures right here. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me read it, that same scripture there in the Passion Translation, right? It says, so search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding within you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceit. Guys, you're watching this today for a reason. I'm on assignment today. I may not be speaking to everybody, but I'm speaking to somebody. And your life is on the line. And God is throwing you a lifeline in the form of this word. You've wrestled with sin. You've tried to get free from those addictions. You hate doing it, but you still do it. And God is saying it's time we break those chains. Amen. How many believe it's time we break those chains? So let's look at this for a minute. All right. If we're trying to restore your roar, I got to get you out of bondage. How do we get ourselves out of bondage? Because there's so many of us watching right now. They say, Pastor, I've been trying for years to deal with this lust problem, to deal with this, you know, this addiction, to deal with this habit. But the problem is you're not dealing with the root. And we're so guilty of this. See, we just want our behavior to change. God's not interested in just your behavior changing. He's interested in your heart changing. And so what Christians do, we go, I got a porn addiction. I want to stop. And we just want that activity to stop, but not change our heart. And let me tell you something. God says this. It don't work that way. Well, I just want to stop doing heroin or smoking meth. Take this thing away from me. And God is saying, you're dealing with the fruit. When if you deal with the root, everything will cease. What is the root of sin? I shared about it earlier. The root of the activity that you're doing, the addiction that you can't stop, the habit that you can't break, the secret sin that you're hanging on to, guess what's giving those things life? Idolatry. Idolatry. What's giving the addictions in your life power is you're sitting on the throne of your heart. And the throne of your heart is reserved for the King of Kings. If you want to remove sin from your life, you got to go through a heart change, which means this. You got to quit worshiping self. We say it all the time here. It is a core value of this house. And I'll say it again. It's not about you. And you've got to stop making all the decisions. You've got to stop leading your life. And you've got to put Jesus Christ on the throne of your life. Quit serving self and serve God. And you will see addictions break, bondages break, patterns break. If we can just get you to bow your knee and say, God, forgive me. God, I don't want to be in control no more. God, it's not about me. It's about you. The root of all sin is idolatry. It's when we choose self over the Savior. And guess what? Every day you wake up, you make the decision. Am I going to serve self or am I going to serve the Savior? Now, here's the thing. When we wake up and we serve self, sin is crouching at the door because self is drawn to sin. But when we wake up every day and we're focused on the Savior, God, I just want to do your will. God, I just want you to be the center of my life. The pull of sin begins to weaken. Sin doesn't grow in the soil of submission to the Savior. Sin cannot grow in that soil, but you've got to choose it. See, when humanity puts aside what God clearly reveals in order to satisfy cravings or desires contrary to his ways, that's idolatry. That's idolatry. I know God's word says that, but I'm going to do this anyway. I know the Bible says not to be unequally yoked, but boy, is she fine. Boy, does he look good. So in order to satisfy my loneliness, I'm going to move away from what God has said, and I'm going to obey that. You've just entered into idolatry. You've just entered into idolatry. So when you fall, the issue is not, oh, I'm so lustful. The issue is you have not yet learned to not be idolatrous and not elevate yourself before God. Are you catching this today? Because if you catch this today, this could be the day that the cycle breaks in your life. We're talking about restoring your roar, and lions cannot roar when they're in bondage. So let's open the gates today. Holy Spirit, I pray that people that are watching this, the light bulbs are going on. Revelation is beginning to see that the reason they're trapped in sin is because they won't serve you. They're still serving themselves. Now listen to this right here. Ephesians chapter 5, 5 and 7 in the New King James Version. It says this: for this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Ephesians 5, 5 and 7. And then it says this: let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Do not be partakers with them. What is it saying there? It's saying, don't let no one trick you, folks. If you're going to live like that, if you're going to live like the world, you can put yourself in the way of God's wrath. That's what the world is going to get. It says, don't be partakers of that with them. And it says this: there's no inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ being an idolater. Could this be why so many churchgoers have no fruit? Could this be why people go to church, have no power, have no joy, are still filled with anxiety, still filled with worry? Their prayers don't move anything. Their prayers don't do much. Could it be because even though they're doing all the activity, in their heart, they have not yet given control to God? I submit to you, that's exactly what it means. Let's fix that today. Come on, let's restore your roar today. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. It says this: I say then, walk in the Spirit, which basically means this: walk after God, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The self wars against wanting to please God. And it says, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you want to do. It's basically telling there, man, choose to submit and live life to serve God. It's all about obedience, guys. The way to master sin, ready? The way to come out of the cage, the way to break the chains, the way to break the addictions, the way to break the curses is to finally obey to do God's will, obey his word, and obey his ways. That's it. That's it. Submit. When you're faced with, do I obey his word or do I do what I want to do? Submit. Obedience, write this down. Obedience slams the door to sin. Slams the door to sin. But we don't want to obey. Man, I remember when I got saved, I got radically saved at 19 years old. I was involved in some stuff and sexual activity and all that. And I remember God challenging me to do hard stuff. Quit dating that person. Oh, but God, I really love them. I really like them. I remember feeling it so strong. Break off that relationship. At that point, it was the hardest thing that I had to do. But guess what? When I obeyed, the sin on the other side left my life. See, the addiction that you've been struggling with is on the other side of one obedient act that you keep saying, I ain't doing it. This is why addicts struggle so long, because the answer many times is rehab, AA, go to a meeting, be sponsored. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. Whatever God's telling you to do, and he usually uses people that love you to tell you, do it. Whatever his word tells you to do, do it. And that will shut the door on the sins that you've been living with for so, so long. Listen, it's as simple as deleting an Instagram account that you know you shouldn't have open. It's as simple as doing the little things like, man, get to church. Obedience slams the door to sin, and it opens the door of the bondage in the cage that you're in. Because lions don't roar in bondage, in captivity, and neither do Christians. Now, let me leave you with these scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 is such a balance to what grace really is for in our lives. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know what it's saying there? It's saying, God, give us grace not to be forgiven, not to hide our sins or cover our sins. I'm thankful for that grace. But give us grace, which means divine enablement and empowerment, that we may serve you acceptably and with reverence. My prayer today is that God releases his grace over your life to get you out of that bondage. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 tells us so clearly that it tells us this: repent, therefore, and be converted. The word repent there means make a turnaround and go the other way and be converted. Leave your old life and be converted. And it sends it. And then it says this, that your sins may be erased so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I would love to pray for you right now. And when I pray, God is going to open the cages that some of you lions are in. You're in a cage of pornography. You're in a cage of anger. You're in a cage of alcoholism, heroin use. You're in a cage of drug abuse. You're in a cage of loneliness. It's time we get you out of the cage. But here's the thing. It's going to take repentance. It's going to take you making a decision to go another way. And as I said earlier, what's the root? We're not going to repent of lust, of this or that. Here's the root. We're going to repent for making an idol out of our lives and serving self rather than serving God. Amen? So, Father, I pray for every person that is watching right now, every lion that has lost their roar because they're in bondage and they're settling for weak Christian lives. They're settling for a life below the blessing that you have for them. And they're not happy. They come to church out of religious duty. They serve in the church to try to find a blessing that you've already given them. And they go home to secret pet sins that they feel horrible about. Well, Lord, open the cages today through this word. And Father, I pray right now that we repent for serving self above you, for choosing ourselves above our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do this every time we choose to live apart from his word. We do this. We leave your ways. We show that we're being idolatrous when we listen to our own voice above the voice of the word of God. Now, Father, we repent of this. And your word tells us when we repent, you're faithful to erase our mistakes. Your word tells us too, Lord God, that you break the chains over our life. And I just prophesy right now as we repent this morning, bondages are being broken. And Lord, you are releasing people to be sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, if you're out there right now and you're saying, thank you for that, Pastor. I prayed that. I want to stop serving self. Get yourself to the church house. If you're in the Sacramento area, you need to come to Elevate Life. If you go to another church and you're just tuning in or somebody shared this message with you, get to a local community and allow somebody to help you be discipled in the ways of Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, I don't want to do that. There you go. Now you have a decision to make. You're free. But if you keep listening to what you want above what God wants, you're just going to go right back into that bondage. The key is submission to your Heavenly Father. Listen, I hope this word has helped you today. Please inbox us, message us, make some comments in there. If you need prayer for anything, we are going to be praying for you. I also want to encourage you to pay attention to our social media outlets. We have an amazing Easter weekend planned for you coming up in April. We are doing a drive-through Easter event. That's going to be such a blessing to your kids. Usually every year we're over at Rudder Park and we do the largest Easter egg hunt in South Sacramento. But because we're wanting to be careful as we're still walking through the pandemic, we've got something special for you. And so stay tuned on our social media outlets and you'll find out more information about those things. God bless you guys. Know you're in our prayers and let's get our roar back. Amen. God bless you.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.